Motorcycle Man.
Where'd it go?
I know not what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking for my show notes so that I can figure out what I'm doing here. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Good?
Everybody's doing good.
No, you done eating, Justin?
No, but I let you get rolling, and then I'll just throw it on mute.
Oh, okay.
What are you eating?
Soup.
Soup? He's eating soup.
He's getting soup.
All right.
That's what a TH.
Soup. That's correct.
All right. All right. Well, if you guys are ready, we will kick it off. Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 450.
Wow.
Yeah. Hello. So today we will fill your ears with copious amounts of misinformation and profanity.
Yes.
As we usually do. We'll likely throw in some references to genitals and random comments involving sexual acts, probably from Chris. All right. So joining me tonight, I'm Ted, your host, here in the corner booth at the V-Twin Cafe. Actually, we're not in a V-Twin Cafe. If you hear the noises behind me, we are actually in a dark forest this time. This is our unofficially our Halloween episode, though a week late. You know. We've got a great show. It's going to suck. Joining me tonight is a man who compares golf to sex. You think about it all the time, and all you're trying to do is get it in and hole as quickly as possible, and eventually somebody is going to walk away disappointed. Tim Buck 2 is with us here. Also, traveling all the way from Westfield in a vehicle as large as an iceberg with a bumper sticker that says Harley Davidson, because everyone loves a fat boy. So, Mr. Joker Nipples, Chris.
Hello.
How you doing, bro? Yeah, good. And last but not least, a man who is convinced the tiny town of Whoville is living in his beard, and he is forever banned from retrieving his mail in his underwear at his apartment complex. All right, friend Justin Brown. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm currently in my underwear, so they haven't touched that.
He's in his underwear. How you guys doing, guys? It's been a long time.
It's been too long.
It's been a very long time. Let me tell you something. I can tell you exactly how long it has been. Our last show that we did together was July 29th. You're right, Justin. July 29th.
And how many? Is anybody clamoring for us?
No, it's been silent.
What does that tell you?
You know, it's been silent, so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's. I've been busy, though. I've been pumping out.
To be honest with you,
what?
I feel exactly the same way.
What?
As far as like the schedule.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've been slammed too, you know?
Yeah. I've been pumping out an episode every week. I think I did. I might have missed 1 week. I might have taken a break. I think I did take a break 1 week. But yeah, I've had check the schedule real quick. I've had, I can't find it now. Of course not. Why would I be able to find it?
Why would you be prepared?
I am prepared. I just don't know where the hell my shit is.
He's not prepared.
My thing went away. Where'd my show notes go? Damn it.
His thing went away.
Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I've had 12 interviews since we last met. And I'll tell you who we had. Just a little recap for you guys so you know what's going on. I had Junkie from Creative Writing. Remember, guys? Remember Junkie? I had him on from Creative Writing Podcast. Z Traveler was on. It was actually Junkie's 10th anniversary of podcasting. So I had him on the show. And Z Traveler just got back from Mongolia and Japan. So I had her on. We talked about that. Dave Hawley from Moto America. He told us, if you want to be a marshal... for any of the Moto America races, he's the guy to talk to. He'll hook you up. Dave Munson from Saddleback Leather. If you guys want some nice leather for like bags and stuff like that, this is some good stuff. I mean, it's expensive as shit, but really good stuff. Larry Marshall was on. We talked about Sturgis 2025.
Larry or Eric?
No, it was Larry. Eric wasn't available. And I had Mark Long from the Driven to Ride podcast on the show. We talked about stuff. Craig Johnson was on. We talked about Wildness. The real Craig Johnson. We talked about his 10th anniversary.
My question, was it the real Craig Johnson?
Right. It was his 10th anniversary in business. So I had him on the show to talk about that. Dave Ackerman was on the show. What's that, Tim?
I just wanted to say that I was watching their video on a guy who has 104,000 miles on his motorcycle so far.
Yeah.
And it's only a year old.
Holy shit. Wow.
And while he was talking, on his seat was a wild ass seat.
Yeah. Man. And I saw, I just saw some video the other day, and it was a chopper. It was a hardtail chopper. The chopper? What's a chopper? It was a hardtail chopper the guy was riding, and it had a... Oh! It was a bike he bought from OCC, Ocean County Choppers.
Oh, really?
Orange County Choppers. And it was a hardtail, and he had a wild-ass seat cushion on it.
Oh, really?
Very interesting,
of
yeah.
Of course.
And I had... Yeah, of course. I did have Dave Ackerman on from... Tobacco Motorway. Dave Ackerman was on the show, and we talked for a long time. So it was good to talk to Dave and connect with him for a while. I had Kelsey Jackson. We talked about the motorcycle Trans America ride, which is a really interesting thing. I had Pete Vorst. Now, this was an interesting conversation. I talked to Pete Vorst from Compass Expedition, and he was in Australia at the time I talked to him. So he was 14. He was 14 hours ahead of me.
Wow. Yeah. Did he give you the lottery number?
I asked him that. He couldn't do it.
It's when I was little, I used to think that.
Yeah. I can understand, you know. I had Tim James and Kirk Lakeman from the Backcountry Discovery Routes on because they had just released the new Southeast Backcountry Discovery Route. So you can now ride completely doing one of the backcountry discovery routes. You can ride from Florida all the way up into Maine in one route. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. And I had
I-95.
This is like probably 90, maybe 75% off-road. All off-road. Yeah, so.
Whatever, take forever.
Yeah, I mean, the Southeast alone took them 8 days. So... And then you figure, I think Tim said that you could, I'd have to listen to it again, but it would take you nearly a month to do all three sections all the way up to Maine. So
I can believe it, because if you're not taking any main highways.
No, you're right.
It's funny, when I rode last week and I was riding through Warren, you know, going through back roads, I was actually having a thought like that. Imagine if you took these kind of roads that I'm on right now all the way down to like Florida or out to California.
Oh, it'd take you forever. Yeah, it would take you forever, man.
You know, some of the roads, you can't go more than 25 or 30 miles an hour.
Yep.
And some of them are only 40 miles an hour. Beautiful riding, but boy, it would take forever.
And what about gas? Like, on those roads?
Yeah, too. At some point, you'd have to offshoot.
Yeah.
Stop at the gas station that you'd see.
Yep. Damn. But you know what? Despite that, I would love to do that.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
Can you imagine?
Time and the money.
Well, yeah, get a load of this. Now, there is a ride called the...
All about money.
Yeah, about money, too. There's a ride called the TAT. It's called the Trans-America Trail. And while a lot of it, when you get like past the Mississippi... I mean, there are sections on the east section, but once you get past the Mississippi, a lot of it is off-road. But... you can ride the TAT quite a bit in the east until, you know, obviously it turns to dirt. But I'm trying to get somebody on that we can talk about that. But that's a long ass ride, man, to just do that. Can you imagine? Oh my God. That'd be a lot of fun, though, you know, just to go across country and just like take back roads the whole way.
Cool.
Until you got if you got Nebraska, and then it's like nothing but corn. You know? Finally, I had Aaron Pfall on the show, and he runs the ADV Cannonball. Now, this is just about a cannonball for every kind. You got the vintage bike cannonball. And then, of course, you got the Scooter Cannonball. Now, this is the ADV Cannonball. It's Adventure Bike Cannonball. They went from, where did they say they went? They went from, right here in North Carolina to, I forget where they went. But,
I feel like that makes more sense than the rest.
Why is that?
Well, you figure for, like a race of that nature, you know, an ADV bike can kind of do all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you're not going to really find yourself in a scenario on that type of like cannonball that bike won't handle. Whereas like if you're like on a Vespa,
yeah,
you might find yourself in some situations where you're like, nah, you know.
Well, he did tell me that there was one or two people that did not have an ADV bike that did it. One guy was on an Indian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, any bike can do just about anything, really. It's just how you have it equipped and what you're ready to do, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, that's about it. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing for the past weeks. In fact, I have another interview next week. It will be, well, I got interviews lined up forever, so that's no big deal. But anyway. So anyway, we got some stuff to talk about. If you guys are not
interview with your parole officer.
No. Are you still working with pipes, Justin?
Yeah.
How's the pipe business?
Pipe business is booming.
You laying a lot of pipe or
yeah, well, with this whole AI thing, man, it's like crazy for our business.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because like the AI boom is taking off, which means you need servers to manage all that, which means you need to keep all of that cool.
Yeah.
Which means you need a shitload of pipe.
Yep.
And all that sort, you know, so it's, you know, between...
Well, wait a minute, but see, now you're just talking about cooling, right? Because that's all. I mean, servers just need cooling. They didn't really don't need much else.
Yeah, but there's so much that goes... Well, you would be amazed at what goes into these data centers.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
No kidding.
They're like hundreds of million-dollar like operations, these places. Because those... They can't go down at any point, because then information doesn't get transferred. You know, data is lost, service is down.
Right.
You know,
they have a lot of backup.
Everything's triple redundant. So basically, if one system goes down, you still have two others before anything would be truly lost.
Wow.
So you have, but I mean, the cooling that is necessary for these things is like astronomical. I mean, you know, some of these data centers have, you know, 36 and 40 inch pipe to feed.
What?
Yeah.
What's going through those pipes?
It depends on the you know, how the system's set up, but it could be anything from just regular chilled water to, you know, some sort of glycol mixture.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I mean, it's, you know, these things, the temperature has to get regulated, you know, and they're just putting, I mean, there's so many, I don't even know how to describe, I mean, Chris would probably be better at talking about like...
I don't think it's water though. There's no way it could be water because water would heat up too fast.
Well, no, that's why they have chillers and cooling towers. And wow. they do run on, there are data centers that run on just chilled water.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an advanced form of water cooling. Okay.
But basically,
that's the best way to do it. I mean, sorry, Justin.
No, I was going
to
say
that's one of the best ways to do computers is to cool them is water cool. I mean, I thought about doing that when I built my system a few years ago that I have now, but there's too many variables that if you fuck it up, just imagine water pouring into your computer. And there goes the whole fucking system. Data centers have to worry about that. That's why they used a closed circulation system. It's a little different than the ones used in building a PC, but different, but it's similar. But these data centers that have all of that stuff in there, even if they switch to new memory hard drives, they still have to cool them, because the CPUs are the ones that generate, like, they'll generate enough heat, man, you can light a cigarette off one of them if they were cooled right. Yeah. Like that hot. So they have to be water cooled.
Wow. You know, because I know that before I retired, the place I worked at, our server room, it was cooled through air conditioning. Strictly, that's it. Was just air conditioning.
Very cold. The last place I worked for 15 years ago, they had a big data center, because they were a big corporate building, and you'd walk in there, man, it was like a refrigerator.
Yes.
I mean, it was like 30 degrees in there,
dude. It was so freaking cold in there. You could go in there and not that you could see your breath, but you'd probably maybe 1 or 2 degrees lower, and you could have. It was so cold in there, but those things were pumping out, and man, the exhaust fan that they had in there to suck out the heat above each one of the server racks was crazy. It was so loud in there. Oh my God. But
now what they're starting to do is, instead of, everything's changing at such a rapid rate, because especially with this AI boom, it's just causing such, the demand is so much greater than it ever was. Like, things were kind of growing at like a normal kind of pace as far as like,
oh, now it's
the demand over time. This just like, it just skyrocketed.
Oh yeah, it's expanding like crazy.
Everybody's been trying to figure out how to, you know, ramp up and kind of play catch up. But what they're starting to do now, instead of cooling the air around these server racks, what they're starting to do is build these server cabinets, and they're actually cooling the cabinet itself. So like, they'll have these chips that'll basically be submerged rather than letting them give off the heat and then trying to
move
the air around it.
Yeah,
I get it.
And what's interesting is
liquid cooling.
Well, they're liquid cooled regardless, but it was liquid cooling for the air. Now they're submerging.
Oh Jesus!
So
yeah, that solution that's cool. That solution that they use for that, you could actually build a home computer like that, where if you look in your it'd be a closed mini tower, and it actually fills with the solution that the entire thing, like everything, is under fluid.
Yeah, it's a non-conductive fluid.
Yeah, non-conductive fluid, and that's probably what they're using, that kind of technology to cool stuff. But you know, if you build that home computer like that, you're gonna have a 200-pound fucking mini tower.
Can you imagine how much electricity these guys? I mean, these companies.
A lot.
Can you imagine? It's ridiculous.
Like, a couple of the data centers that I've been at actually got cut off from the power company at a certain point. The power company came in and was basically like, we're capping you here because otherwise we won't be able to power the rest of the town.
Jesus. Holy
so what God. They had to do was they had to basically build on site these natural gas
generators,
power generation stations, basically like their own mini power plants, to make up the difference for what PSE&G or whatever power company can't of what they can't get.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man, that's nuts. Holy shit. So you're busy.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Go ahead.
This is computer related, not motorcycle related, but
that's okay.
Being a computer chip does not have any moving parts, why is it heating up? The electricity that goes through all the internal resistors inside of a CPU, because like that, your little CPU, it could be like a little 1-inch by 1-inch square, but inside of that there's like 100,000 resistors that are all generating heat.
It's all electricity.
All electric.
But they're making things so damn small nowadays.
Yeah, even the small ones still get hot, though.
The smaller they get, the more juice they're using, too. Because now they can cram more shit into one of them, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's
well,
crazy.
And, you know, and you got to remember that, like, people that are buying the space at these places are typically things that can't go down, you know? So, say, for example, you know, say, for example, like, Netflix comes in and they buy a huge section and they have, you know, even if it's 5% of their information stored on there, all of a sudden, if that goes down, you go to log into your Netflix account and there's just nothing there.
There's nothing there. You've got a lawsuit on your hands and you're out of business.
So it's like, you know, you got companies like Amazon, same thing. You know what I mean? They can't afford to go down the amount of stuff that's in these places.
Wow.
Real quick, Tim, you were saying, I just checked. In a single CPU core, there's over 1,000 resistors.
Wow.
So imagine now Intel just came out with, I believe, they got a... And it's made for home use. I think it's 24 or 32 cores.
Wow.
That you can get. And each one of them has over 1,000 resistors in it. So you're probably going to have to take your air conditioner out of the fucking window and attach it to your CPU.
And according to, speaking of AI, I asked AI, why do CPUs get hot if there's no moving parts? And the response is, CPUs get hot because they perform billions of electrical operations per second.
There it is.
And each one generates heat, even without moving parts.
Right. Put electricity through a resistor and that's it.
Billions of electrical operations.
Imagine what the...
I'm lucky if I can multitask two things at once.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it. Everything that we're doing right now to make this podcast happen...
Yeah.
...is flowing through a data center somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
between
right.
The stuff
and
that...
you may be responsible for keeping that data center cool so this podcast can continue. So
Let's hope not, because we don't need any more technical difficulties.
Yeah, if anybody wants to bring down the Motorcycle Men podcast, all you got to do is prevent Justin from getting to work.
Justin is laying a lot of pipe for us.
Yeah, he's laying a lot of pipe for the podcast. Podcast pipe.
Thank you for that. Because of his pipeline, we are good to talk.
Oh, my God. Hey, so we got some news. We got some, let's talk motorcycle news.
Oh, we got to talk.
About.
I hope you're going to talk about it. The new lineup. For a certain company that we all know.
Yeah, so Harley-Davidson has a new CEO. Jochen Zeitz is out. Okay, but let me get this. Jochen Zeitz will stay on as a senior advisor until February 2026. Sort of like a transitional thing so he can talk to the new guy. Because nobody else is going to talk to him. So he's going to have somebody to talk to. He's going to talk to the new guy. And but here's the new CEO. His name is Artie Starrs. Now I'm gonna give you boys a little. First of all, Jochen Zeitz, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jochen Zeitz, he was the CEO of Puma, I believe. Was it Puma?
Right? The sneaker maker.
Yeah. Let me see. He was. He was the roles as CEO of Puma, and then he moved on to Harley-Davidson. So, here we have a sneaker guy in charge of Harley, and then they said, you know what? He's not getting it done, but he did ride a Harley, so that's a good thing. So now, Artie Starrs. Who is Artie Starrs? Artie Starrs held leadership roles in, are you ready? Tim will find this so very interesting. Tim will love this. Are you ready, Tim? Okay, Artie Starrs. He held leadership roles from Topgolf, Callaway Brands, all right, and Yum Brands. Okay.
Oh, like Taco Bell.
Yeah. And Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut, right. And it is unknown if Mr.
Still around?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And it's unknown if Mr. Stars rides a motorcycle at all. How about that? So we went from a shoe company owner, CEO, to a Pizza Hut CEO. So, and Topgolf. Okay. So that's who he is. I'll show you this. Okay. I'll have to share it. But he says it's a huge privilege to be joining Harley-Davidson as president and CEO, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to help steward this incredible company. I have long admired the unique position Harley-Davidson has in the hearts of its riders and fans. There is no brand that brings the same level of community and rebellious spirit as Harley-Davidson. So go have a slice of pizza. Anyway, yeah, so that's his thing. He took control October 1st of this year. He's now in charge, and there is no indication from any source what his leadership plans are for the company. So it's all up in the air. So right now, so that's what Harley-Davidson is. Any thoughts on from you guys?
No.
That's it? No?
Well, no. I mean, for me, I think it's more, you know, let's wait and see what happens. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, the thing is when you get to a company as big as Harley,
yeah.
You know, the guy at the very, very top doesn't have to be, you almost don't want him to be a guy like you and me, because we couldn't run that fucking company. You know, a guy who's out wrenching on his bikes and riding his bikes and doing all that shit doesn't have the brain to run a fucking company of that capacity. You want a guy that knows how to run fucking companies. Being the guy that runs companies, you want him to hire the people below him to do all the things. Those are the guys that you want to hire. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you need somebody who knows how to put the right people in the right places.
So, yeah, and so, I get it.
Hopefully he knows how to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's the same as anything else. But I mean, I at this point, it's like, you know, let's see what he does.
I mean, does it make sense though? I mean, it's obviously Harley-Davidson is approaching this from a business angle rather than a motorcycle angle, you know? So he has the company's best interest in heart, at heart, based on financials more than the product itself.
I mean, to a degree, again, when you get to a company that large,
yeah,
that's
the bottom line is important. Right.
That's whatever company. I mean, they can pretend all they want, but I mean, that's the difference between a conglomerate and a small business.
But is it bad that this guy may not be a motorcyclist? That he doesn't have the.
I don't think so, because
it doesn't matter.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, like, I guess what
I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to run a company, you should have personal knowledge of the product itself.
Well,
and really have
again. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, if you're a owner of a Harley-Davidson, you understand what it's all about, and you know you'll function in a certain way. If you're not, and if you have if you're indifferent to the product itself, you know, maybe you're just thinking more about dollars than you are about what's best for the consumer of the product you're working for. You know, that's where I'm coming from. I think. And if I want somebody to run Harley-Davidson, I want them to know the bikes. They want them to like have an active interest in the product and what their consumers think of the product. You know that.
Well, and I mean, it's speculation. We don't know.
Right. Of course, we don't know.
But
you're right. He may hire people in his position. He may be putting people in charge of just those things.
Well. I mean, in theory, that's all those guys. I mean, I say all those guys do, but like, you know, the guys in those positions are basically puppet masters of so many other people that are actually doing the job.
Right, right.
They're basically, they're there to oversee that everybody else that they've hired and chosen is doing the right thing. And then those people under them are doing the same thing. And that's trickled down until you get to like the fucking front line.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care what the business is. In order to have a successful business, you have to first be good at business and understand it.
Exactly.
And anybody who is good at running a business knows that the most important thing about having a successful business is hiring the right people to ensure that it is in fact successful. So
yeah.
I don't care if he knows how to wrench on a bike, but
no, that's not that's not
what I do
important.
Care about is if he knows how to say this is what we need to do better in the company, and so these are the guys that I want to go after that know how to kind of accomplish that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I just wonder how this is going to affect the product, the line in the future. Is there going to be new products? Is it going to be old products? They're going to delete stuff. They're going to add stuff. We don't know. You know, that's, and this is all speculation. We have no idea what's going to come.
Well, what I wonder is how much, like, how much power does he have, like, on a singular level versus how much are these decisions made by, you know, say a board, 15, 20 people.
Yeah.
And then everybody's just blaming the CEO when it's a shit decision. You know what I mean? Because the reality is if you're, because remember, it's a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
So half these decisions are also being made based on keeping shareholders happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's part of the problem too, because I think those, I know very little about this, but I get the impression
that's what we
that,
do here on the Motorcycle Men Post right. podcast. We talk very at length about things that we know very little.
This is
about.
Perfect, you know, and exactly. I don't know. It just feels like they get in the way. Really,
who's that?
The board members and you know, these large investors, they get in the way of progress. You know, what if they just sat aside and let the guys who know what they're freaking doing just do their thing, you know, creating motorcycles, creating different styles, creating different brands, different models, whatever. Let them do their thing and then let the bottom line say, hey, this ain't working. Let's get rid of it. Okay, fine. I just don't know if these board members are in the way, you know, of that forward motion. I don't know.
Somebody's being stupid because, I mean, realistically, Harley Davidson shouldn't be doing any new things, okay? They should be just ramping up and focusing on what they do best, motorcycles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I get that.
Okay?
Right.
Not drifting off and trying to do this fucking thing and that fucking thing. Just stick to what you know best and make them cooler, make them better. Make a new motorcycle if you want. Try that. You know, like they've done in the past with the
but they're like every other company going with the buzzwords.
Yeah, that they got to stop that.
Yeah, I know.
Stick with what you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like just as an example, they introduced, look, we got this Street Fighter that we're going to put out, and then they shelved it. And it's like, why? Let's get that thing out there. But we've talked about this at length before. But again, we don't know what Artie has in mind. We're going to call him Artie from now on because we're personal friends with Artie. But moving on from that, so that's the whole thing. We're going to get back to the Harley stuff because we got some more Harley stuff to talk about. But now we're going to talk about Indian motorcycles. You guys know this story? You probably don't. But I'm going to tell you this story. Justin, you probably know. But Indian is on its own now. What does that mean? Here it is. Polaris has sold its controlling interest of Indian Motorcycles to Carol Wood LP. It's a private equity firm based in LA. Now, making it a standalone company for the first time since 2011. How about
that? Is this one of those companies that's going to part it out? And like,
what they're going to do is what a private equity firm does is they basically build up the company. They get there to make it profitable. And then at some point in the distant future, or near, depends on how it goes, they may sell the company off again to somebody else. Or, worst case scenario, they'll just sell everything. So, which is right. So, but anyway, so they have a new CEO, and Indians' new CEO's name is Mike Kennedy, no relation to the Kennedy family that we know of. But here's the interesting thing about who Mike Kennedy is. Are you guys interested? Of course you are. I'm going to tell you how interesting this is. As you recall, I said R.H. Starrs, the new CEO of Harley-Davidson, comes from Topgolf and Callaway Brands, Yum Brands, and Pizza Hut. Mike Kennedy, the new CEO of Indian Motorcycles, comes from... Where do you think he comes from? Never mind. Don't even bother guessing. I'll tell you. He comes from Harley-Davidson. And he's the former CEO of Vance and Hines. So here you have a motorcycle guy coming to run a motorcycle company. So I find that to be quite curious, and a lot of people think that's curious. But again, we don't know what the future holds for Indian. We're just going to have to wait and see. And I am sure...
I like to know how they're doing.
Do you know what deal they made? I mean, because obviously since it's been Polaris owned, the power plant's been a Polaris power plant.
Oh, yeah.
So do we know what sort of deal was cut as far as like what's going to happen with the power plant moving forward? Is it going to, are they going to, is it going to maintain a Polaris engine, or is it going to be, are they shifting to something else?
We're going to find out
Milwaukee,
right now.
The Milwaukee 8.
Yeah.
Carolwood LP. The amount has not been disclosed how much they paid for the controlling interest in Indian Motorcycles. It's not been
because you can't type that many zeros.
Well, yeah, probably not. The sale of the majority stake in Indian Motorcycles, making it a standalone company, majority equity position, Indian's revenue contribution, approximately $478 million, turns out to be 7% of Polaris's total revenue over the trailing 12 months. So, yeah. Projected increase adjusted its impact on Polaris. Right around $50 million and boost its earnings per share by a dollar. So Polaris made out from this deal.
We just don't know what's going on with
the PowerPoint. We just don't know what's going on with Indian's PowerPoint. We don't know. I'm going to be talking at length to our good friend Larry Marshall about this because he is an Indian guy and he has a lot of inside information. So we're going to talk to him and we're going to find out what's going on with that. But yeah, that's where we're at. So, Indians on its own. So, it's going to be interesting over the next 12 months. Things are going to be quite interesting. So, anyway, time to move on. I'll tell you what. Let me do Binnet real quick. And then we're going to talk about the new announcement of Harley's 2026 models.
All right.
You guys ready to talk? Yeah. We're going to talk about that, man. So, let me do Binnet, and we're going to get into that. All right? Here we go. Where is it? All right, boys and girls, now we're going to do some Binnet here. Don't forget to check out the Ride with Ted YouTube videos. There's plenty of stuff there for you. Don't forget to like and subscribe any of the videos. Sign up on our mailing list, and you'll get advanced notice of when new episodes are out. And if you want to support the podcast, please buy us a coffee. You can also buy my book now on the website. That's right. You save $8 if you buy the book from the website. I'll even sign it for you because it'll come direct from me instead of from Amazon. And we are brought to you by Scorpion Helmets, providing you with high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So learn more. Get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. I just got the new Scorpion Carbon ST1400 helmet. Great helmet. I love it. Wild Ass Seats, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, what do? You call up the real Craig Johnson. You get yourself a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. Go to wild-ass.com and get your cushion today. And, of course, Tobacco Motorwear for the best in casual riding gear for men and women. There's only one place you should be going, and that's Tobacco Motorwear. So get in Dave's pants at Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com. That's tobaccomotorwear.com. And our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMAN. Your safety is worth it. So get on over to Get in Dave's Pants. And you can buy this Tobacco Motorwear crap. Not crap, it's good stuff. You can get it from the website. That's right, MotoMenPC.com. You can go to our shop page and you can buy Tobacco Motorwear from us as well. And that's all for now. That's it for the Bennett. So let's talk about the 2026 Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Their new listing is out. Got their new stuff out now. Where's the link? There's the... Oh, geez, stop that. I didn't lose it. I know I have it right here. Link. Link. Anyway, so we got the new lineup, and it's... This is part one. They call it chapter one. Was just done, and this is like their new release of stuff. But the chapter two is coming out, because apparently in chapter two, there's going to be some newer stuff that they're not telling us about just yet. They're calling it... what are they calling it? Chapter 2 is revealed January 14th, and you'll get the unveiling of our new trikes, the new limiteds, and exciting new additions to the CVO family.
They've started doing that, where they, like, split.
Yeah.
Like, put through the year.
Yep.
I don't know. I get it, because it's, like, a slower time of the year, and, you know, it, like, gets you, like, thinking about motorcycles again before riding season. Like, I understand the logic behind it, but it's, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but whatever. But there, so they got the new stuff out, and we're gonna just look at. They call it Chapter One, and it there's really. I think the only thing that's really new in this whole thing is just the colors. They got all new paint this year. The colors are a couple of the colors are just really, really, really nice, man.
Yeah, blood orange is fucking fantastic.
I didn't see the blood orange, but we can start.
I do not.
I've briefly gone through it. Maybe that is it. Is that it right there?
That road glide. The road glide looks nice, and even the.
The road glide's got a nice.
This is the whiskey fire.
Orange or the blue is really beautiful.
All right, so let's dig back through these colors. We start with the American Touring, the CVO Road Glide ST. MSRP $44,000. $45,000. We're going to skip that extra buck. But, they got that rally red and then the hot lap black and red. And, of course, you can get it in mercury silver and black, of course. But, man, oh, man, it's like that's a really, really good-looking color, man, right there. That's really nice.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Road Glide, CVO Road Glide ST. There's really not much to say. It's the Milwaukee 8. As usual, yeah. So, probably the interesting thing is the Road Glide RR. As you know, they released this thing. Was it last year? I believe. Had like a $100,000 price tag on it, which is kind of retarded when you think about it. It's got the 131 Milwaukee 8. It's a good looking bike, but not for that kind of money.
What do they have it listed at now?
They don't show us a price.
So that's like a dealer can pick.
Yeah, it's a limited edition thingy, you know. They got a little video going on here. It's basically your legal road version of the race model. So, but moving on from that, I'm still looking for that color you were telling me about, Chris. I'm not any of the bikes are.
I like that blue right there.
This one here? This is the Street Glide, and they're having it. They call it the Aurora Blue Denim.
That's cool.
Oh, the blood orange. Oh, the blood orange. That is damn nice, man. I like that.
Yeah, her two wheels. Last night, I just watched her latest podcast. Her and her crew took out all of the models out for a ride.
Hmm.
And one of the guys had the Street Glide with the blood orange on it. And then
nice.
There was a blue one for the lowrider, I think.
Yeah.
Colors are nice.
Yeah.
Real nice.
The new 2026 Street Glide is starting at $24,999, so $25,000.
That's it.
That's it. The Road Glide starting at $27,999, And I tell you, I like this new color that they got here.
Color's nice, but I'm not a fan of the Rogue Glide.
No.
I never liked the way to fix fairing field.
Felt really? I originally
like that color. Yeah. The color's awesome.
That's awesome. That's a gorgeous color. It's a teal thunder.
How'd you feel about the Road Glide, Justin?
I liked them.
You did you? Okay.
I like the handling.
That purple, really purple Abyss is nice. The Aurora Blue Denim is really nice too. And of course, you got the olive green color. I don't know, that's pretty cool. That's all right. Yeah. So I tell you what though, I did
a nice job with the two tones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two times that I've ridden the Road Glide, I thought it was going to be a little ungainly in the front. I always felt that I thought that I was going to ride it and it would feel front heavy. It didn't feel front heavy to me.
No.
It just
the fairing isn't mounted to the front end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I did notice that is that with everything in that fairing mounted, the frame mounted, it's everything is just way out there in front of you. It's just really far away. I don't know. So not that that was a huge deal, but yeah. And let's get back to this. See here. Okay, let's move on from this. Let's go to the cruisers because we have to go to the Fat Boy. We just have to, because I know Chris is...
I've already been here, Milton.
I know you've been here. So the Fat Boy is coming in at $22,599.
That's olive green, I think they call it.
They call it the olive steel metallic and vivid black. And it's also available in a brilliant red.
I'd get the red.
Yeah, the red is really nice. And then, of course, they got the white onyx pearl. The vivid black and the dark billiard gray, which kind of, I think the, I don't know, I'm sorry, but black and white are probably the most boring colors for anything, literally for anything, you name it, boring as hell.
Black makes the chrome stick out.
Yeah, but you know what? The problem with the black is it eliminates any contrast from the rest of the bike. What's that super color? What's that super black? That's like, it's almost disturbing to look at.
That's vivid black.
No. There's this.
Are you talking about nine? What's it called?
Yeah, what is that? The super black paint. What's it called? It's called, here it is. It's called an ultra black coating that absorbs nearly all visible light.
Vanta black.
Black 3.0, Black 4.0, Musco Black, and Super Black Acrylic.
I'd like to put that Vanta Black on a fucking motorcycle.
Vanta Black, is that it?
Yeah, it absorbed up to 99.9% of visible light.
Yeah, Vanta Black is one of the darkest artificial substances known, absorbing up to 99.965% of visible light. It creates the illusion of a black hole on any surface it coats, making 3D objects appear completely flat.
Yes.
Man, oh man. Have you ever seen... I saw a car on YouTube painted Vanta Black. It was disturbing to look at. Because you look... And if you're looking at it, but it seems like it's... Like it's not even... There's... Like, right, like it says... It
no
takes
dimension
away.
No to it.
No there's dimension. No dimension. None. It just seems like it's just... flat. It's very disturbing to look at.
Two-dimensional.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, it's a scream. But anyway.
3D out of everything.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that would be it. I mean, that'd probably be the coolest black to have. But generally, white and black with anything, it's just so bland. Just, like, no contrast. But anyway, so get your Fat Boy for $22,500 if you're so inclined. But I tell you what, I like the Heritage. As always, you look the Heritage in that teal and black.
Nice color. I like that. Oh, yeah. That's a good thing you brought that particular bike up, that color. Her two wheels, she was riding that.
Yeah.
She fell in love with it.
Yeah,
she said,
man.
It was fantastic to ride.
The Heritage, and what's interesting about the Heritage is you can change the type of wheels now. They're giving you wheel options. Now this is.
I would get rid of the spokes.
So now here is the. I think with the cast wheels, it looks really freaking good with cast wheels.
How would
wheels.
That look with white walls?
I don't know. They don't give. That's something you'd have to do yourself because they're obviously not giving you that option. But
I think that would look cool. White
walls. Yeah, white walls are nice.
The purple's kind of.
Yeah, but you know what? It works on a Heritage, and you put it on any other bike. I don't think it's gonna work.
And look at this, man! You can do the solo. Right, you take the black solo trim, which they remove the windshield completely, and they give you a single seat. And I don't know. Now that looks like an old school bike, right there, doesn't it?
Yeah, that looks like from the '50s.
Yeah, it does, man. Wow. But anyway, but getting back to this, yeah, some cool stuff. But I love that Thunder Teal and Vivid Black. That's a good-looking bike right there. Really, really nice.
Is that the color that's on the Breakout?
That color on the Breakout is beautiful, man.
The Heritage, starting at $19,900.
Why is it that's cheaper than the Fat Boy?
Yes. Wow. Because everybody loves the Fat Boy, right, Chris? Yeah.
Go over right there. Look at that fucking color, man.
Now, yeah, that teal color that looks badass on the Breakout. That looks really nice on the Breakout.
Nice color, man.
Full teal. You can get the Dark Horse Metallic or the red. I'm sorry, the Blood Orange.
I would get that teal, man. That teal looks beautiful.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got the Vivid Black and you get the Dark Billiard Gray. And they also have the chrome version also, but they don't have that in the preview. So you can do the chrome model if you want.
Put that green back on there. I just want to see what that looks.
That's nice.
That's really cool. It's really a good
look. How do you think your bike would look with white walls?
What, mine?
Yeah.
Hey, you look great. I've been thinking about getting white walls.
Really?
Yeah.
Do it. Why not? It's really, I don't want to say it's hard to keep them clean. It's just a little bit of tedium involved in cleaning them.
I bet.
Yeah. But that's the damn good looking bike.
You have white walls on your bike, Justin?
Yep. Well, the front is white, the back is dark as hell.
That Breakout's $22,900 if you want that. That's a good looking bike. I like that bike. Yeah. They also got the old Lowrider ST, a bike which I've ridden and I'm not too crazy about. I just felt that the sitting position was, because you're with the Lowrider ST, you're you don't have floorboards. You got regular pegs. And it just, I felt like my knees were too high. I don't know. That's because I'm a tall guy. So that's what. Of course, they got the trikes, of course. And they've got the Freewheeler, the Road Glide 3, and the Tri-Glide Ultra, which is a $37,000 motorcycle, $38,000. Adventure Touring. Let's go to the sport models. That's the Nightster Special, and the Sportster S. The Nightster, under $10,000. Look at that, $9,999. It's a fun bike. It's a fun bike.
They should have a bike for under $10,000.
Yeah, everybody should.
Active, yeah.
It's a fun bike to ride. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
I never liked any of the new designs of the Sportster.
No, they're not really Sportsters anymore. You know, but the Sportster S, I didn't care for at all.
When years ago they did that 76.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I don't know. 70, the 72. Wrong. The Sportster 72.
Yeah, that one. That was a cool looking Sportster.
That was a good bike.
Yeah. And it looked like an old.
Yep. Because they did that metal flake paint on it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, but the way the handlebars were in a bike, it looked like something from the early 70s or 60s.
Yeah, the Sportster 72. Is that right? Let's see if I can find one up here. Just call it up. Sportster 72. Yep. Boop.
Yeah, that was nice.
There we go.
That was
nice. Right, yeah.
That was cool.
Pretty cool.
Had that old look to it.
Yep. Look at that. $11,000 it's selling for. Holy crap. Oh. Anyway, moving back to Adventure Touring. This is where the Pan America are. And you got the Pan America Special, as always. And then you got the CVO Pan America, which is loaded out for $29,000. And then you've got the Pan America ST, which is basically. I guess they're trying to make it like your sport version of your street sport version bike. That's basically what they've done to it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, comes with the cast wheels and selling for $19,900. So
it looks good in the blue.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, they definitely gave it the sport appearance, but gave this the lower windshield. This is definitely not your adventure version of the bike. You know, it's got the cast wheels and all that, but it's pretty cool. I like it. Any comments on the new lineup of bikes?
Yeah, I want I want two of them.
I wonder what they're releasing when it comes to the in January.
Chris wants them all.
I wonder what they're doing.
I just want the Street Glide and the Fat Boy.
Yeah, I wonder what they're doing though in January that they're doing this second half this release. I wonder what they're doing though. That's what I'm wondering. I wonder what they're gonna do. Any thoughts? No, all right, no. I can tell you guys are really super interested. So we'll move on. That's all I got for now. Anything you guys want to add? Talk about?
I don't know what they're gonna. What they're gonna? You know, sometimes they. Sometimes they release a new model. Other times they just do colors.
Yeah.
They'll do like a half year color type thing. You know.
Wow. But there's something I did want to mention.
Did you see that new gear that they have? I sent it to you guys that you could put on the bike to make it reverse.
Huh?
What?
They have a gear that they can put on your bike, and you push a button and you can go and reverse your bike.
A reverse kit.
Yep. Reverse kit.
Yes, I see. Motor trike. It's a trike reverse kit.
No, this is for a regular motorcycle.
Oh, DNA Specialties has a 6-speed kit. Reverse. 6-speed reverse kit for $1,439.
That's it?
Yeah, it's a reverse circuit gear, a circuit breaker gear.
But, you know, that's for bigger bikes, you know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Who need it? I sent it to you guys. I don't know why you didn't check it out.
Let me look.
I probably didn't get it.
Yes, you did. Everything's in Messenger.
Oh, interesting.
I even send it. I don't send anything to Justin anymore because he doesn't pay attention.
I don't know if I would do that. I mean, because I never get myself in a situation where I need to back the bike up, unless if I'm, and I don't park on the hills face down. That's for sure.
Well, you don't have a big bike that needs it. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have a Road Glide or a Street Glide, things that are bigger.
Or the Ultra Classic, yeah.
Like, but if you're on a hill or something, you need to go back up a little bit here.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose. So, listen, our 500th episode, if I am consistent with doing one show per week, that would put...
That's Christmas.
That would... No, actually, it would be 50 weeks from today, which would put it on or about the third week of October of next year.
Oh, wow.
So, I'd like to do something special. I'd like to see us, you know, maybe the four of us get together in person and do it, and in the least do that. So, think about it. Think about what you might want to do, if you want to do anything at all. And we can come up with something, you know. If you guys don't want feel like doing anything at all, just let me know.
No, but, I think for that, we should. It could be more than a Zoom call. Yeah. I agree.
And you know, maybe get together in person. And do we make it a public gathering? I don't know.
No.
That's entirely up to you. You know, if there's a call for it.
We need a show for that.
Well, you know what it is? I need to get some sort of response from listeners if they'd be interested in being.
Yeah, and it can't be just five people.
The trouble is, where it makes it difficult is like with a podcast, it's not like it's like a radio show where your whole audience is in one specific area to where you could be like, hey, our listeners come out. It's like your podcast is essentially worldwide. So you may have this plethora of listeners, but none of them may be in the same fucking spot.
Oh, of course not.
You know what I mean? That's so true. It's like, you know, if you're like, hey, we're going to get together and do something, it's difficult because it's like, how many guys that actually live close enough to make that, you know? I mean, like...
Yeah, I get it. I agree. Right now, let me see. I'm looking at our stats. Yeah.
How many listeners do we have?
Overview. We've had 444,423 downloads in the since 2017. Now we started in 2015, of course. So I don't have the stats prior to that, but.
Well, no. What is it about stats in the last year?
In the last year, I don't have the last year. I have the last 90 days, 30 days, or 7 days. Okay, maybe I can
all
do
right,
this.
All right, 90 days.
So. Okay, wait a minute. I can do last year since. Since what do we want? October? No, of last year, November of last year. What's today? Today's what? The
doesn't matter. Just get
five.
A
whatever listeners we
to
did
today.
Have, we're losing.
Okay, they're gone.
Yeah. All right. They're since
on, they're on suicide watch.
Right now, and again, this is only from one source. This is just from this one source. But since this time last year, we've had 40,567 downloads just from this one source. No, I mean it's not the greatest, but you know, can't complain. Yeah,
get all 40,000 to show up for the podcast.
No, and you know what it is? I'm trying to see what locations we have here.
It's Sandwich Islands. You can't forget them. They're number one.
Well, we got 79% of our downloads are coming from North America. And where in North America? I don't know.
Wherever the greatest population of listeners is, that's where we go and do the show.
Yeah. Let's go to Zimbabwe. Oh, or should we go down to...
It's not separated in regions?
No, I just get the listing from what countries and what cities. That's it. I don't get it. I don't get the... episode downloads. Let me see. No, I don't get like specifically what regions it's coming from, unfortunately.
Well,
so we'll think about it. I mean, like I said, this is...
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
You know, we just have to decide if we want to do something, and we'll see what kind of response we get from listeners. If there's a Northeast interest in getting together, we'll talk about it. But it's hard to say. I mean, because you know, but at least anything bottom, let's just at least the four of us get together and do a show. That'd be great.
In Justin's kitchen, and he's going to make us all a special dinner.
Yes! Justin's going to cook us something.
Something of his choosing. That'll be interesting. Anything.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have bread sandwiches.
We're going to have, Lucky Charms.
No, we'll do Steak-ums. We'll do Steak-um sandwiches.
Hey, don't knock Steak-ums. I love Steak-ums.
Or we could make it a pizza podcast. You never know.
We did that last time.
Yeah, we do. We do another pizza podcast.
Next time we
can do that. Either way, we'll talk about it when the time comes. We'll get there.
We've got a year to figure it out.
Yeah, we have a whole 50 weeks to
and
talk
that's
about.
Assuming, well, that's assuming that you end up.
Right. If I continue with the
one, yeah.
Right. If I continue with the one episode per week, and I'm going to do that one way or the other. There's going to be 50 episodes a week. And,
how's your book doing?
It's doing. You know, it's. I'm not a New York Times bestseller at all. You know, I'm definitely not.
How many copies have you sold?
Oh shit! I don't know. Not a lot. Not a lot at all. I can look.
Are we more than 50? Less than 50?
I don't know. I don't think so. Hang on a second. I can order. So, I mean, I'm looking right now. I'm looking right now. Since the book came out last year, and that number would be to now. Okay, and boom, I've sold 40 copies.
Oh, I didn't make the 50
mark. No, that's 40 physical copies, and I do not know how many audiobook copies I've sold.
They don't tell you that?
Yeah, that's a different area I have to go to. Yeah. That. Sorry, but I think I got at least 10 there, so maybe I am over 50. So,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's getting there. You know. So anyway, that's it. I don't have anything else to bring up and talk about, but.
Well,
Tim, did you played golf yesterday, right?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do? You didn't tell us.
Oh, you really care? Does anybody out there really care about my golf?
We all care about your golf, Tim.
I had an 87 yesterday.
An 87.
I was going to say, as long as you don't say you shot like shit, and then you're like, I shot an 80.
Well, I didn't shoot well. I shot an 87, so what does that tell you?
But still fucking good with me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And all I right, did take a lesson last week, so.
Oh, man. How's the weather up north, by the way?
What's that?
How's the weather up there by you guys in the north?
It's getting chilly.
Chilly
right
mornings,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dark by fucking 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. Drive home and at 5 o'clock, it's dark now.
Yeah, I know.
I hate this time of year.
Yeah, I understand. But it's autumn. Well, that's all I got, boys, and it's really been nice to talk to you guys again, have you all here in the chit-chat.
And 450, baby.
Yeah, I hear you.
Great.
Let's get it going. I am Ted, your host, here in the V2N Cafe Corner Booth. This has been episode 450, and, of course, we have Tim Buck 2. Doing the whole thing here, right? I still have to find a sound of a golf club, Tim, for you. I got to do that. I'm going to get that. You watch. I will get that. And, of course, we have... I still have the airplane, I think, right? No, I don't. We got Chris Joker Nipples here, our resident 15-year-old. And, and of course, as always, our good friend, Justin.
Get the fuck up!
That's never going to get old. Was it?
It's so funny that's made it as far as it has.
Any closing words, Tim?
Ride like nobody sees you.
How about you, Chris?
Ride like everybody sees you.
Yeah, ride like everybody sees you.
Hey, Justin.
Just ride.
Ride like 50% of the people see you.
There you go.
Well, that's it, boys and girls. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Don't forget to email us at motomenpc@gmail.com. Don't send me messages on through Facebook, you know, messaging. Just email me, because
send the messages wherever you want.
Yeah, because I do a post on Motorcycle Magnet on Facebook, and but I don't get into that whole meta thing. It's just so tedious and just annoying. So just, if you want to message me or send me an email. That's it. MotomNPC@gmail.com. I'll respond to that.
Send him a letter.
Yes. No, not a physical.
Yeah, handwritten letter with your quill pen.
By pigeon.
That's it. However you do that.
Right?
And of course, you know, and that's it, man. Just like, you guys, be careful, be cool, and we'll catch you out next week. And remember, we say stupid grab so you don't have to. And that's it, guys. We're done.